yeah, stand. You were right. Somebody's got to lead the pack, Terry. If you are able to stand, if you are able, if you're not, don't feel obligated. In honor of the word of the Lord. Anyways, we will get back to Matthew, Lord willing, this evening. I actually plan to preach it this morning, but every once in a while, the Lord changes my sermon. Right before the service. So, brother, here's my notes. I'm excited, though. So, anyways, that's what happened. But we'll get back to Matthew. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Before I read, I want to say this. Thank you, dear church family. You have been very more than kind to Dawn and myself, the cards and gifts and things like that. We do not expect that, honest to goodness. When we were placed in the ministry, we didn't expect that. We love to serve the Lord, but your love is very, very kind, expressive, and you bless our heart. So we're overwhelmed in a sense at the gratitude. And so I just wanted to say thank you there. I read every card. I don't just open it and shake it. I read every card. So, all right, verses 1 through 4. Did you do that as a teenager?
Oh, yeah.
Kids, read the message, man. All right, here we go. Verses 1 through 4. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, because there is a lot of filthiness in our flesh and spirit. Yes, there is that for all of God's people that are mindful of themselves, there is a lot of filthiness in our flesh and spirit. You don't have to agree, but that's the reality. perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, says Paul to the Corinthians. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. And this is the text, this is the phrase, this is the passage that the Lord impressed upon my heart. I am exceeding joyful in all your tribulation, our tribulation. So in a sense, he's saying, I'm exceeding joyful in my tribulation. That is the kind of spirit we all need. Right there. We all need to know how to be happy when it's hard. Joyful in tribulation. So, let's pray here. Father, bless the service. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the work of the Holy Ghost, who is able to do wonders in our heart and in our mind. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in everybody's heart this morning. May we be encouraged and strengthened in the faith. May you be glorified. And if there be any in attendance that are lost, their spiritual condition is that of a lost man, I pray that today they would see your grace, your love, your mercy, the gift of God that is available to them to have eternal life. And I pray they'd receive it. I pray bless our choir as they sing now, prepare our hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tribulation, says Paul. As a matter of fact, he didn't just say joyful. He said exceeding joyful. That's like he's having a good time in tribulation. Well, let's consider tribulation if you want to see the paradox of this, if you're not quite figuring it out. Of course, for Paul, he gives a quite a testimony in 2 Corinthians. He talks about how he'd been left for dead, how he'd been beaten, scourged with a whip a number of times, how he'd been lied about, betrayed, how he carries the burden of the churches on his heart. And that's just scratching the surface. Also, he'll later talk about this thorn in the flesh, which we don't know what it is, some type of physical ailment that he could not get rid of, that he was constantly aware of. He says thorn. It is uncomfortable. And so he mentions, 2 Corinthians gives one of the most descriptive testimonies of the Apostle Paul of all the epistles. And yet he says, I'm exceeding joyful. I'm having a good time. And if you looked at him, you listened to him, you'd believe it. No doubt he showed it on his face. It doesn't mean he didn't hurt. It doesn't mean he didn't have times where he wept. It doesn't mean that. But when all was said and done, he said, in a sense, and I'm careful when I say this, in a sense, when it come to tribulation, it was almost as though he's saying, well, bring it on. It's almost as though he knows God is absolutely in control of all things. It's like he thinks God, can you believe it? He thinks God is in control of even his tribulations. So my dear daughter and our dear daughter and her little grandbaby were heading home to Pensacola last night, and which is supposed to be a 3-hour tour. And we dropped them off at 5:30, and she made it home at 6 a.m. Professor and Mary Ann. It was longer than a 3-hour tour. I told her, I said, honey, I know God's with you. I wish I could say this is all an accident. But you got to rest in the fact that God is in control. Amen. She made it. So I don't know about you, but every once in a while I have to battle my emotions. I know that you don't. But every once in a while I have to battle my emotions as a Christian. And the Lord brought this text to my mind about Paul. Joyful in tribulation. And I said to myself, well, I'm not going through what Paul's going through. But when you consider tribulation, let's consider tribulation. Tribulation typically affects our emotions. I mean, it disturbs us. It is a troubling of the heart. Tribulation. For some, it might be a totally different circumstance than another. It may be the loss of a loved one, or a snide remark of a coworker, all the way to it may be a diagnosis of cancer. A wayward child, a car accident, a misunderstanding, a disappointment, an expectation that was not met, and whatever it is, if it troubled you, it is some sort of tribulation. And I don't make light of any of it because it affects our emotions. But the beauty of Christianity, biblical Christianity, is God's Word teaches us to rise above the problems, the circumstances, the tribulation. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ buoys us. Did I turn this on? Okay. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ buoys us during turbulent times. And so, I don't know, whatever it is that may have disturbed your heart, we'll just call that a tribulation. I'll say this, I know for me, sometimes my choices bring my tribulation. That may not happen to you. But for me, sometimes I've discovered, yeah, I know why I'm here. I know why it's turbulent. Because I know what I said or I know what I did. Hello? Amen. And so with those, it's like, well, what do you do now? You stirred things up and now it's got you affected. What do you do? Well, you do right. You do right. By the way, you can rejoice in that tribulation. Tribulation is as good a word as tribulation. You can rejoice in that even though it was your choice. You know why? Because God is not going to let you stay comfortable until you get things settled. Isn't that a blessing? That is awesome that God would stir up your life because of a bad decision you made. You're all happy about that. I can just tell. I'm thankful. David said it was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That is a blessing from the Heavenly Father that He'd make our life uncomfortable when we make bad decisions. Yeah, that's the truth. So, you know, well, so what do I do then? Well, I make right decisions. I confess it. If I've hurt somebody, I go to them. Or confess it to the Lord, certainly. If I said something to my wife or hurt her, I got to make it right. And, you know, you do those things. You do what's right. But another reason for being joyful in our tribulation, even if I don't know why the tribulation has come, these are just some quick thoughts here. Even if I don't know why the tribulation has come, I mean, have you ever been just driving down the road and bam, somebody runs into you? And you had no idea why that happened. This wasn't on my schedule. Okay? Well, here's what I... Or, you went to close the door and you forgot to move your thumb. Boom! And you rejoiced in the Lord always. And again, you rejoiced and said, praise the Lord! He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today! You know, the nerves work and all of that's a good thing. I don't know, for me, I've always felt like when those, what I call unknown troubles come, I've always felt in my heart, one way or another, I deserved it. I know you've never felt that, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm like, well, this is the worst it's going to be. Oh, well. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to hell. I'm a child of the King. You know, so that's a blessing to me that, well, no matter how bad it gets here, another reason, it's going to pass. It's not going to be around forever. I will not remain in my tribulation forever. Job, when you're going through it, it might seem like a long time. I mean, I can't imagine having a little baby, being a woman, and having a little baby who's whiny and fussy, poopy diapered. And he has had some toxic diapers as of late. And having to carry this kid around in an airport and all, I mean, I can't imagine, but one thing's for certain, it ended. It'll pass. It will come to pass. It's not permanent. Job, it feels permanent while you're going through it. But you know, there's an awesome passage in the book of Job. When you come almost to the very end in Job 42, there's a passage. You know what? It's so cool. We got to turn over to Job. You got to see this. There's a whole sermon in this passage. Job, if you get to Psalms, just turn left. Turn left at Psalms. Most people can find Psalms. Turn left. Just a page. So we come to Job chapter 42. And we come to, oh, this is so awesome. I don't want to tell you the verse till you get there, because you'll peek. So remember, Job, all that he's went through, okay? I mean, he has went bankrupt. He's lost his family, his children. His friends accused him, his health. Suffered extreme physical pain through the boils in his body. We don't know how long that lasted. We don't know if it lasted a month, 6 months, a year, or a few years. We do not know how long it lasted, but we do know it came to pass. And it says in verse 16, after this lived Job. He kept on living. And you will too if you're a child of God. You will too if you're born again. You will too if you've received Christ as your Savior. The day will come when tribulation will pass, and after this, it's time to live. It's time to live. It'll pass. I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know what's going on with your heart. I don't know the troubles. I do not know. But I know this. You can rejoice in tribulation. One, for me, because it's not going to get any worse than this. I'm not going to hell. And two, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. Three, it pleases the Lord when I rejoice in my tribulation. I said it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord? Well, you don't understand. No, it does. You're hurting inside. Physical pain, emotional pain. And you look up to heaven and say, I want to praise the Lord. I mean it. God knows if you're facetious. I want to praise the Lord. Why? Because He is worthy. Why? Because He is faithful. Why? Because He give you an opportunity to live and breathe. Well, you're here in America. That's a good deal. Could have been born in a third world country that doesn't even have the Bible. There's a whole lot of reasons. But to say thank you, I praise you, I'm going to heaven, it pleases the Lord. I shared this in the Sunday school teachers meeting this morning in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to tell you the story. If you don't trust me, though, you can turn there. You can write it down. But in Numbers chapter 11, Moses has been leading God's people through the wilderness. You know what God's done for God's people? For His people? Well, first of all, He delivered them out of bondage from Egypt. Some of you may not be aware. They were in bondage. I mean, they were suffering. They were serving with rigor. That means hard, hard bondage. And God miraculously delivered them. They didn't do anything to earn it. And then God wipes out their enemy through the Red Sea as God parts the Red Sea for His people to go through. And then He uses the same Red Sea to collapse upon the enemy, Pharaoh's army. And so they're on the other side. They're heading to Canaan land. And so on their way to Canaan land, God gives them manna. Manna, angel food cake. God feeds them with food from heaven. God gives them water out of a rock. Not just any rock, this rock followed them. It rolled along. I know it sounds amazing. Truth can be stranger than fiction. This great big rock rolled around and followed the people of Israel. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us that that rock represented Christ. And whenever they needed water, it was right there. It was there. During this time, though, they're fed, they have water. Oh, by the way, God was with them in a cloud when it was real hot outside. He had a nice cloud. And at night, when it was real dark, He had a
fire. God was always with them. But God, every now and then, God would allow them to go through some tough times, make them suck it up a little bit, show a little fortitude. And what we discover in Numbers chapter 11, the people complained, they got upset. It's like they forgot. It's like they thought everything was supposed to be peaches and cream. If you like peaches and cream, I personally don't. Strawberries and cream. There we go. Everything was supposed to be like strawberries and cream. And they thought it was going to be a smooth ride, but now a little hiccup in the road, little difficulties. I'm starting to get a little thirsty. And rather than say, can we get some from the rock? They just complained. They complained, and God heard the complaints. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 11, it says about God, he was not pleased. He was not pleased. It's so easy for us to complain. It's in our nature to complain when things don't go our way. Hello? It's in our nature to complain. But we please God when we feel like complaining, and we don't, let alone we please God when we feel like complaining, yet we say, God is still good. I said, God is still good. Amen. We please God. By the way, you can talk yourself into a good mood if you think right. So, why is it that you can be joyful in tribulation? Well, it's the worst it'll ever get. Two, it pleases God. Well, three, it'll pass, but here's another one. Here's one of the beauties of tribulation. You and I, the best way to really, really get to know Christ is through tribulation. So I went to visit Dave Heron this week. And Dave, if you're watching, I'm going to share this story. I think it was this week, earlier this week. And I talked to Steve Allen on the phone the other day. And same story, same scenario. David talked about being that close to dying. I mean, right there. He was in the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, he was right there. Steve had mentioned that they had to shock him twice. I think that, Nancy, where are you at? Was it a flat line and they had to re-shock him? They had to restart? Not in rhythm. Okay. But anyways, I mentioned this to Steve after I talked to Dave, and Dave said, you know, you learn a lot when you get that close to death. Amen. You learn a lot. I said, you mean kind of like when the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, for thou art with me, and so you mean like those verses that you had here, 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 are now here, real experiences? I said, yeah. I said, you know, the amazing thing is it takes things like that for our faith to go from theory to experience. And when you've experienced it, then it's real. Then it's real. Then it's easy to talk about it. I mean, we can talk about scriptures we've memorized, but it's a whole other story when you go through tribulation and you're cast into a fiery furnace and you can say, yeah, there were three of us, but once we got walking around down there, there was a fourth man there with us. And those soldiers that got thrown in with us, they disintegrated. And the only thing that got burned when we were thrown down there were the cords that they had bound us with. They were having fun in the fire. They were joyful in tribulation. Well, how'd that happen? It took tribulation to experience God. And I'm telling you, friend, when you act by faith during times of tribulation, you can see the hand of God work. You can see the faithfulness of God in your life. But don't bail out on God. Don't give up on God when it's time of tribulation. Don't complain. Look to Him and watch His mighty ways and His mighty works. So, Paul could say, oh yeah, He's been with me. I'm exceeding joyful
in all my tribulations.
Another reason, and I'll conclude with this. I think this is huge. When I'm going through tribulation, well, let me ask you this. How many of you how many of you like those indicator lights on your car? You like them. You're glad they're there. Anybody? Two of you? I'm thankful. Some of you say, what indicator lights, man? They've been bleeping since I got the car. Do they mean something? What is that red one that says low oil? I don't know anything about that thing. Okay, so anyways, those are a blessing. We appreciate those. These indicator lights. God has given you and me an indicator light as Christians. This indicator light lets us know where we're at spiritually. It lets us know how our walk with Him truly is. Listen, because we can all be happy, smile, and have a good time with other people when everything is going our way. We can. But that's not real Christianity. That's not. The tribulations are necessary because they are indicators of our real spiritual condition. Troublesome times are near, filling our hearts with fear. So, Israel, Numbers chapter 11, they complained. You know what God was revealing? They're not walking with me. As a matter of fact, you know what's fascinating? False balance is abomination. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, in that story, there's a passage in there that talks about a mixed multitude. You know what? It's so good. Let's turn there. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. All right. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Okay, if you're there, say amen. Let us know.
Amen.
Okay, you guys are fast. Numbers 11. So, I'll read verse 1. I'm going to bounce around. Verse 1. And when the people complained, what's it say? Displeased the Lord. Okay. And we find that there's some judgment that takes place. And we come to verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Why? We remembered the fish which we did eat when we were lost and carnal and in the world. In Egypt, freely. Oh, yeah, that's what it says. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onion. And listen, it's not that those things are sin. Thank God for that. I like all that stuff. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all. This is the problem. Here's the real problem. They're complaining about this manna before their eyes. Who provided the manna? So, manna was food from God.
Amen.
You know, He's given us another source of nutrition and nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. God has given you and I the holy word of God to feed our malnutritioned souls and spirits as believers. But what we discover here is the mixed multitude, they struggle with that food that come from heaven. Well, who is that mixed multitude? Well, I know some people believe that mixed multitude were the unbelievers that were mingled in with the believers, which very well could be true, because I can't expect a lost person to enjoy the holy word of God because they've not been born again. They haven't received the new nature. They don't have a new appetite that desires the sincere milk of the word. Are you all with me? Because those of us that have been born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, experienced a new birth, been regenerated by the Holy Ghost, have an appetite for truth.
Yeah.
And so there is interest. And so that mixed multitude is there. But I'll tell you what, there is a something significant amongst us believers that we must grasp. We must understand this. It's a foundational doctrine. And that is, when we got redeemed and born again, we did not shed, we did not remove, we did not lose the old nature. It remained in us. We still have the appetite for Egypt. And we got another appetite. And when we're going through tribulation, it doesn't take long to figure out which nature we've been feeding. Have I been feeding on strictly Egypt, or have I been feeding on the food from heaven? Am I carnally minded, or am I spiritually minded? Thank God for tribulation, says Paul. I rejoice in tribulation. Why? Here's another reason. I know he didn't say this, but I say it. Because it lets me know where I'm at spiritually. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above, said the songwriter. That songwriter understood his spiritual condition. Would to God we as God's people would understand when tribulation comes and I can't handle it with the right attitude, that lets me know it's not somebody else's problem that's making me this way. It's not uncontrollable circumstances making me this way. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's it. Sorry if I was too loud. Didn't mean to wake some of you up. I know some of you had a good little siesta there for a moment. But we need that indicator, and you need that indicator. And I read that passage in conclusion. I read that passage. And I think I understand what Paul's saying when he says, I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. I hope you understand that. Father, bless the message. Thank you for the Word of God. May the Spirit of God help us this morning to be overcomers. You told us that if you're for us, who can be against us? I pray, Lord, that you lead and guide those who are going to join the church. If you'll come out and